This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
He was a champion at UCLA and, of course, five-time All-Star. He's also a great actor, which we'll get into that coming up in a moment. He's Marcus Johnson, the Bucks TV analyst for Fox Sports Milwaukee. Marcus, thanks for joining us. What did you think last night when you saw the Greek Freak go up to contest Clint Capela?
Well, good morning, Dan, first of all. You know, it reminded me of an injury that I had when I played with the Bucks. I got kicked trying to contest a jump shot by a player by the name of Paul Thompson of the Cleveland Cavaliers in the early 80s, and my knee hyperextended back like that, got locked. It was the most painful injury that I've ever had as a basketball player. But I went to the locker room. Jeff Snedeker, our great trainer in Milwaukee at the time, worked on it a bit. And I actually returned in the second half. And Don Nelson told me he thought I was going to be out for the year based on the reaction that I had. And so to see Giannis kind of loosen it up a little bit, walk on his own, was promising. But, you know, everybody started texting me right away. And it's kind of like, why does this always kind of happen to us? Why can't we never have good things in Milwaukee happen to us? But, you know, we got to wait and see what happens. I'm hopeful that, you know, if we can extend this thing to a seventh game, maybe he can get back. If not, you know, we'll see. We'll see what the MRI says today. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I'm not ruling him out right now until I hear definitively that he's got some kind of a tear or something that's going to prevent him from playing.
And it might come down to the supporting cast for the Bucks against the supporting cast for the Atlanta Hawks. And if that's the case, who has the advantage?
Man, that's a tough one because of this, Dan. And let me preface this by saying that I'm just really impressed with the job that these African-American coaches are doing in the playoffs between Ty Lue and Monty Williams. And then my guy, Nate McMillan. I was with him in Seattle. You may recall with George Karl and the Sonics in the mid-90s, I used to always compare him to Sidney Poitier and call him Mr. Tibbs because he's got that quiet kind of elegance and dignity. But they call me Mr. Tibbs. But Nate, you know, this whole thing, but connected like a fist, and you know, the calming influence, I think, is a big key for them. But more tangibly, Bogdanovich, the knee, speaking of knees, the knee is looking better. He looked really good, really mobile, especially his activity on defense. Herder, Kayvon, or whatever they're calling him, has been a real revelation. I've always liked it, but now he's kind of taking that step to the next level. And you go along with the other guys who are playing exceptional basketball for them. And then Cam Reddish. It's funny, Cam Reddish, I was talking to my son Chris, and he's like, Cam Reddish is the guy, he's the guy that all the young players kind of look up to. Anthony Edwards says that Cam Reddish is that dude. You know, I didn't know that. I know Cam Reddish had that kind of reputation kind of coming up in the AAU ranks. He looked good last night. So we've got enough. Chris Middleton, and here's the other point. Now, I don't want to get too long-winded, but you got a lot of guys, Kendrick Perkins, Steven Jackson, talking about Chris Middleton as the Batman and Giannis as the Robin. Now, Chris is our closer because he can shoot and shoot with the best of them down the stretch. Now we'll get a chance to see how truthful of an observation like that is. And that's not to put the pressure on Chris, because he did a great job when Giannis went down against Miami last year. He's done a great job this year when he's had to carry the load. We saw what he could do the game before last with the 20-point fourth quarter. But Chris is the kind of guy that can, under certain circumstances, carry you. But Giannis takes so much pressure off of him because of the gravity he creates. And so it's a symbiotic type of relationship between the two. So we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. We got enough to do it. The question is, mentally, will we be able to kind of quell this hawk juggernaut, this momentum they built this last ball game? So we'll see. It'll be fascinating to see how it plays out either way.
You start to look at players in today's generation, and I know you and I would go, oh, I remember back in the 70s or 80s, and guys would play, and they would have, you know, injuries. Like, there's load management here, but these guys are in the best shape. They got nutrition, they got trainers, they got private travel. So I'm trying to figure out, is it just a coincidence that we have these injuries here? If I have load management, then should we be having as many injuries as we have? And there's some you can't prevent. But I didn't think that Anthony Davis was in shape. I didn't think that James Harden was in shape this year. And you got load management. So what is the difference in generations, you know, with these guys and how they prepare and how you did, you know, back in the 70s or 80s?
Well, it's interesting because we worked harder. Like myself, for example, guys used to hate to work out with me because I work really hard, especially, I mean, the leapfrogs with 25-pound weights behind my back. So now I'm paying the price. So now I've got all kinds of disc issues and hip issues and everything. You know, I was talking to Giannis probably 2 years ago, and I asked him about his off-season workouts. I mean, how much he ran, and did he run beaches and hills? And he's like, no, I just do a lot of defensive slides, and I play a lot of basketball. And so he lifts a lot of weights and does a lot of cardio stuff in terms of the machines and equipment and that type of stuff too. But it's a different approach. But also, Dan, I mean, this was the quickest turnaround. You know all this stuff. Quickest turnaround in professional sports history from when the bubble season ended to when this season started. The condensed scheduling of the 72 games was as condensed as it's ever been. You're playing every other day. I mean, these guys, just their bodies aren't used to that kind of taxation on their skeletal system, if you will. And so I think a lot of that had to do with that. And so but my point is that it's a give and take. So yeah, I worked out hard, did a lot of unconventional crazy stuff, leaper machines and all this other crazy stuff we had back in the day, but I'm paying the price for it now. These guys will probably not have as many post-career issues, but this game of basketball, when you're out there 40 minutes a game, playoff intensity, doing the things that you're doing, I've always believed, case in point, with Giannis and Chris Middleton, when Coach Bud first got to Milwaukee, they were playing just over 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And my point was that when the playoffs get here, man, you're going to be playing 40 minutes a game. And so our people were like, well, we've got other ways to compensate for that without putting a lot of pressure in their skeletal system. And my thing has always been, man, you got to get out there and play. You can't manufacture anything that replicates playing on that hardwood, jumping, landing, coming up and down. It's not the jumping that gets you, somebody told me. It's like the landing, the constant landing and the pounding. And so it's just a different approach nowadays, and I think you're seeing some of the fallout from the quick turnaround that was necessitated, obviously, by the league needing to play a certain number of games to get paid. So everybody wants to get paid, so it was necessary.
He's Marcus Johnson, the Bucks TV analyst for Fox Sports Milwaukee, five-time NBA All-Star. Yeah, you start to wonder, you know, look at LeBron. He's got three extra seasons of playoff basketball in that body, which to do what he does and still be able to do that, I mean, that's freakish. That's crazy. I mean, it's not like Kareem or Wilt or some of these other players. Like, LeBron is bringing the ball up the floor. Like, he's, you know, it's a little bit different what we ask of LeBron than we do probably any other player in NBA history. To be able to do it this long, this well, and he continues to do it. What do you think of LeBron?
I love LeBron. I'm my family, between myself, my sons, Chris, Josiah, who's the king of NBA Twitter right now. But no, we're big LeBron fans, and it's mainly because of a few things. I mean, just in terms of no scandal, no, you know, I mean, some comments on some issues or whatever that you could call into question. But in terms of how he has conducted himself, how he's given back to his community, the school that he built in Akron, all that, I mean, that's great stuff. But more tangibly, what is he, 15, 16 years in, and he's still playing at an MVP level. Still, and so I talked to Coach Wooden, interviewed Coach Wooden, myself, Chris, and Josiah for a piece I was doing about Coach Wooden. And we asked him about LeBron and Kobe, and this is going to get a lot of people upset, a lot of Kobe fans in Los Angeles in particular. But he felt like LeBron was more of his kind of a player because he was a pass-first team guy and was not looking to bring a lot of attention to himself. Now, that's not absolutely true, but I've always been a big LeBron fan, and the fact that he's 15, 16 years in, 36 years old, whatever it is, the way he takes care of himself, just the persona that he exudes, whether you like him or not in terms of some of the stances that he takes, he's taking stances. He's taking stances, and he's out there producing. And even more tangibly as a basketball player, he controls the game as well as anybody I've seen since Magic Johnson with the ball in his hands. And so to me, that's saying something. Magic's one of my all-time favorite guys I played against and guys that I like to watch play.
I mentioned that you got quite a resume of acting credits here. you have a scene in one of my, I don't like the movie per se because I didn't think they were believable as basketball players, but I loved your scene in White Men Can't Jump. Like, I think I could take Wesley Snipe right now in hoops one-on-one. Woody looks like he had a little bit of game there, Marcus, but tell me how you got the role in White Men Can't Jump.
Well, we did a film for a, student film project for the American Film Institute up in the hills of Pasadena late at night. Myself and Nigel McGill and Silk Kozar and all these actors. It was based on the life of Raymond Lewis, this great L.A. Legend, myth, just myth in terms of a basketball player. And so Silk Kozar was good friends with Ron Shelton, who wrote the movie, and they were casting for the part. And so Silk got me the audition. Now, they sent me the sides, the dialogue I had to use to read with Wesley Snipes. And I saw that there was a scene where my character pulled out a knife on Wesley Snipes. And so I'd seen a scene from a movie where this protagonist uses a razor blade, a straight razor. And so my dad was a barber. I went and got one of his razors and practiced kind of opening it up and with one hand. And so when it got to that part of the scene with Wesley, I did the whole thing and chased him around the audition room. And so Ron Shelton's like, "Yeah, hey, man, that's great. You got the part, but leave that friggin' blade at home. Next time we got prop blades for that stuff. You're gonna kill somebody with that thing." And so I got the part like that. But the other thing, Dan, that's interesting is that character is based on a real life guy by the name of Reggie Harding. I wrote a screenplay, just finished it a couple of months ago, but just the research was fascinating. He was one of the first high school to pro guys.
Out of Detroit,
early 60s. But I talked to Dave Bing and Ray Scott, the coach of the year with the Pistons, was a teammate of his. But Reggie was challenging Wilt Chamberlain. "You're not the big man. I'm the big man. I'm going to kick your behind." This is during the course of a game. And so it's just fascinating that led me to doing some research on who this character really was. He was heroin addicted. He got shot and killed on the streets of Detroit at 30 years old. He just crossed paths with Satchel Paige, Goose Tatum, so many characters and so many great historical figures in sports. So
and he comes into a convenience store. He's 7 feet tall.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, they go, "Reggie, And then he makes it seem like, no, that's not me. And that's what your scene is.
And that's the first thing. One of the first stories you would hear as an NBA player was that story. But Reggie Harding in True Life had robbed that same store like 5 or 6 times. You know, he was robbing drug houses over and over again to get money, you know, and he'd go in with this mask on at 7 feet tall. I'm like, come on, Reggie. He's like, this ain't me. So that's the name of the screenplay, This Ain't Me. Tragic ending, but I had a lot of fun doing the movie and worked with a lot of great people. And you're right, Woody and I, quick story, first time we played together, pickup basketball, that just wanted us all to play at the Hollywood Rec Center. And so Woody called this bogus foul, Dan. So I'm like, come on, Woody, that was a bullcrap foul. So Woody's like, what do you mean? Why would you impugn my integrity? I was like, Woody, first of all, I went to Crenshaw. I have no idea what it means. Number two, it was still a bullcrap foul. Just laughed, and we kind of bonded after that. But we had a ball, man. We had a ball doing that.
I talked to Rosie Perez recently, and she said – she went out to lunch with Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson, and she said they got stoned. And she said then they came back, and, Ron Shelton wanted to make, you guys were getting ready to shoot. And she said they were stoned. And I don't know how they were able to act, but they were stoned. And I said, were you? And she goes, no, I couldn't. I would have been so paranoid. But she said those guys were stoned through most of the movie.
Well, Woody had the rap party, the big cast rap party at his crib out in Malibu, where he had the big teepee in the backyard, a real regulation size official Indian teepee.
Of course.
Native American teepee, excuse me, my wife's Native American. I gotta be careful about that. But he had the Native American teepee, and in the teepee, man, you go in there, you're not coming out the same person. Let me just put it that way. You're coming out a whole different dude after you leave out of that teepee. So, yeah, but we had a great time.
Woody had some good stuff.
The best.
Hey, great to talk to you as always. Hope you're well and the family. And thanks for getting up early with us.
Always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
That's Marcus Johnson. White Men Can't Jump. He was in Blue Chips, but he was in a lot of TV shows. L.A. Law, Boston Legal, Hanging with Mr. Cooper. He was also a wonderful player at UCLA. Smooth, smooth player. Number 54. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. and it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Roger Bennett, broadcaster, podcaster, filmmaker, Men in Blazer co-host, proud American. And his memoir, Reborn in the USA, an Englishman's love letter to his chosen home, now available online and wherever books are sold. Although, Raj, how English were you yesterday during the Euros?
I'm Patrick. I want to make it clear. I ride with Team America now. You know, it took me writing a book about how much I love America for England to actually throw off the shackles of self-loathing, self-sabotage, and just 55 years of crapping their pants in massive games against Germany. I feel a little bit like Jonah and the whale. However, I am genuinely happy for that nation. They have suffered in lockdown, and to watch large men take off their shirts, just let it all hang out and soak themselves in beer, my God, they deserve it.
But if I had a camera on you yesterday watching England beat Germany, what would I have seen?
A large man with his shirt off throwing beer in the air. I mean, I do. When I want to be clear, when the United States play England, as they do in the Women's World Cup, where our women destroy the English and Alex Morgan knocks her head back and mimes drinking tea, I am like, yes, in the face. Take that, Piers Morgan, you bastard. So that is where my allegiances are. But, you know, my family are all there. I know the joy that it's bringing them. I do know when you had an empire and you no longer have an empire, that leaves an incredible vacuum. In that vacuum, there's been dreams, shattered dreams, hopelessness, self-loathing. It's a little bit like the Red Sox 2004, dreaming over and over again, Sisyphus pushing the boulder up the hill only to have the Yankees knock it back down. What we saw yesterday was the English breaking through like the Red Sox, but probably unlike the Red Sox, the English will now crap the bed against Ukraine in the next round and find a completely different way to torture the nation. But it's a lovely moment. And if you are pro-happiness, which I like to think I am, if you're pro-joy, and if you are of a belief, you know, a lot of people think sports about winning and their team, if they win, are better people, and if their team lose and the losers are worse people. I don't believe that. I do believe sports is human theatre, and I believe that it allows us to make incredible memories that sustain us in time of light and in time of darkness. And so I'm so happy for all of these English fans that they will remember this day, this yesterday's joys. The Germans, such a demon in their minds, they slayed the dragon, they caught the white whale, and I genuinely, to be candid, Dan, I'm so happy for them.
When we acquired you, what did we give up? And like, was this just acquired you, your rights from Liverpool?
I was a player to be named later in the revolutionary treason. I was just some scrub who could give a couple of innings in pretty light relief. What did you gain by adding me? I mean, I think that, and this is why I wrote the book.
And we tried to give you Madonna. We tried to give you Courtney Love, Gwyneth Paltrow. We've tried to give you some people.
You've got to keep your voice down because Madonna listens to the show. She actually does think she's English at this point in her life and her biography. It's funny. Her accent changed immediately. My accent, I love America. I know I don't sound very American, but I love America like, you know, Kenny Powers loves America. And the accent is the one thing that's not changed. I know on this show you like make Christian Pulisic speak English, you make Rebecca Lowe speak American. Can't do any of that. Like, I can say like "Hooray for Hollywood," but I can't say anything.
But how is it that Madonna goes to England and then she acquires an accent in 2 hours?
Well, I can tell you how that works because English football managers. Famously, Steve McLaren, who is a character, like a meme, a human meme on the manager, an English guy, went to manage in Holland, the Netherlands, for a club team. And like within two press conferences was like, it's a good game we played today. It's on YouTube. And there's another guy, Joey Barton, he's from near me, Liverpool. He went to play in France. And he's like, again, second press conference. He's like, yeah, I think he was... You know, the win is important. And what I've learned, it is hilarious. It is hilarious to watch. It's like, oh, my God. I mean, Weston McKennie is an amazing young guy. Plays for Juventus, a powerhouse in Italy, out of Dallas, Texas. And like his third game, I think, he like missed a chance and he runs off the goal. And he's like, to the camera, he's like, hey. I was like, hey. I think that the speech thing, because I've wondered, why do I not have an American accent? I think it's because if you have a musical ear, then, and I assume Madonna probably, arguably, may or may not have a musical ear, but I'm assuming she does. You immediately change and adapt to the voice around you. I have no musical ear. I've been trying to learn the banjo for about the last 110 years, going nowhere with that. And it's because I don't have a musical ear, and that's why I still sound like this. But you asked me, like, to become American, that's why I wrote the book, is to have stood in a courtroom in Manhattan with 161 fellow new Americans being sworn in with the oath of allegiance. And, you know, America in times of wonder, America in times of challenge. I will say I look left and right to be in that courtroom and to look at my fellow new Americans. You know, I'd escaped, you know, a couple of football matches where the violence went dodgy, some chip shop beatings late at night when the pub shut in England. These people had escaped civil war, unrest, famine. I mean, just the stories were incredibly humanly touching. And the one thing that joined all of us in that room was the power of the idea of America. So I think when you have human beings like me, you are adding individuals who've dreamed about America, who've drawn strength from America in dark times, the idea of America, courage, tenacity, possibility. And ultimately, that's what you add by adding me, another bald man who thinks he can broadcast but loves America in the face.
The memoir is Reborn in the USA, an Englishman's love letter to his chosen home. We're talking to Roger Bennett, the broadcaster, podcaster, filmmaker, Men in Blazers co-host. Your first introduction to American sports was what or who?
Chicago Bears, 1983. Just starting to throw off the shackles. The NFL was broadcast for the first time on a niche channel in England for an hour every week, 14 games in those every weekend in those days. And they crushed all 14 games down to a highlight reel of 1 hour. I've said a couple of times, it was all put to Bonnie Tyler's Holding Out for a Hero. It was like Tony Dorsett sweeping left. And it'd be dum, 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 dum. Very dramatic. Remember, English football in those days was played by angry men who wanted to kick anything on the muddy pitches, be it the ball or their opponent, and then go off to the pub and have a cigarette, a pie, and a pint. So like to see Billy White Shoes Johnson return a kickoff for 83 yards, but he only did it so that when he got there, he could just unleash the funky chicken. Like 13-year-old me was like, holy crap, joy, wisdom, wonder. You know, to see New Orleans Saints fans, you know, under Bum Phillips. First of all, I was like, my God, there's a man called Bum. And then they were hopeless. They were like 0-14. And again, in England, if your team was losing that much, you would go to the games just to fight your opponent's fans and taste your own blood in your mouth. But the New Orleans Saints fans, they were like, we love this. We're the New Orleans Saints. And they pulled on paper bags over their heads and just had a great time. And I was like, my Lord, trying to find joy even in defeat. That's a wonderful way to live a life. But the Chicago Bears, My family left Europe in the early 1900s thinking they were headed to Chicago. So my family always in dark times, and there were many of them in Liverpool in the 1980s, we'd always be like, we should have lived there. We should have lived there. So to watch this Bears team, Walter Payton, Jim McMahon, William Refrigerator Perry, throw off the shackles of defeat, self-loathing, and just a pathetic franchise and say, no, we swagger, we Super Bowl shuffle, we dominate, and we trash talk on our way to victory. 13-year-old me was like, you don't have to be who you are. You are not trapped by history. You can redefine yourself. And it was thrilling on a sporting level, and it taught me life lessons on a personal level, Dan.
But do you have friends growing up who look at you and say, like, what are you doing? Like, you're a traitor. You left us behind. Like, did you get, like, feedback, blowback by becoming an American citizen?
I shared this dream with another friend of mine in Liverpool. We would, because the games were on, the NFL games, and we knew they were being played a week on television. They were a week old and there was no internet. So me and my friend, Jamie, we would, from his house, not mine, because my dad would have killed me. We used to phone up random 312 Chicago numbers during Bears games, and people would say, hello? And we'd be like, hey, how are the Bears doing? And they'd be like, oh, Matsui's just run for 4 yards. And we'd be like, yeah, now what's happening? And they'd be like, Jim McMahon's dropped back. Oh, he's just overthrown that one to Willie Gault. And we'd be like, and we'd get them to give us personal commentary and run up just enormous phone bills. So I shared this dream with my best friend. And it's what the book's about loving, you know, everything, Heart to Heart, Fantasy Island, John Hughes movies, Run DMC, the Beastie Boys. And Miami Vice came on our screens, Dan, and watching Don Johnson, you know, just in his pastels, in his T-shirt, in his rolled up sleeves and his never any socks and his hair that became blonder with every consecutive season of the show, gunning down narco threats in espadrilles. I realized that to be willing in life to succeed, you have to have a singular style, b, stick with it, and then c, not care about what anybody else says about you. And so that's what I took from Miami Vice. That was my attitude. I learned not to care. I also started to wear espadrilles with no socks, which were completely impractical for Liverpool, but I've learned not to care about what other people think, though.
It's like you were an American trapped in an Englishman's body.
That is the opening paragraph of my book. I persuaded myself, because my family wanted a move there and ended up by mistake in Liverpool, because my great-grandfather, he's down here. There he is. God love him. Harris Pollock. That's him in the Russian army, where he had to serve for 25 years. And then he fled Ukraine and he was headed to Chicago. He was a butcher. He wanted to become a butcher in the hog capital of the world. And the myth of the Liverpool Jewish community is that it's full of the idiots who, when the boat docked to refuel in Liverpool, saw the one tall building on the Liverpool skyline. I'm like, we're in New York, let's go. And so we got off and we were in Liverpool. And Liverpool is the greatest city in the world, I want to be clear. But in the 80s, as the North economically, politically, culturally just disintegrated. You've seen Billy Elliot, you've seen the mining devastation, the cotton, the steel, just the post-industrial Britain. It was a wasteland. And so I did. I survived this very dark black and white life by inhaling American sports, American culture. And yes, Dan, I tell myself at night, I had the Statue of Liberty painted on my bedroom wall. I would arrange my curtains so that the light fell on her face. And I'd persuade myself that I was an American trapped in an Englishman's body, even though I'd never set foot in America. That's the story you tell yourself to be able to get through.
Will the U.S. men win a World Cup in our lifetime?
Yes. Yes. If they, if science allows us to live forever, then the answer is definitely yes. I can tell you, Ted Williams will definitely be alive and walking the earth by the time the American men. Look, if the American men can become half as good as our women, they can be bloody, bloody good. And the reality is, I moved to America and right before the last World Cup. And on Men in Blazers, we always joke, Saka, America's sport of the future, as it has been since 1972. It's always meant to be the next big thing. That it was never an overnight success. It's been slow and steady. There's a huge audience consuming the Euros right now. And our men have gotten to it. There's a young wave of incredible talent. Christian Pulisic, I mentioned Weston McKennie. I mean, I mentioned Tyler Adams. There's a slew of these, Gio Reyna, a slew of these young stars. And for the first time in your lifetime, young stars are willing to go abroad to play against the best, for the best. They're not sticking around in America anymore. There's a young wave of talent who will make us very proud sooner than we think.
Is there somebody else in England we should acquire?
Well, we tried that with Piers Morgan. And
yeah, we didn't want him. No, we returned him. We didn't want him. We got him.
It didn't work very well. I think we've got. I like our cast of characters, and it is amazing. In the past, you know, America did well by having air bases in strategic footballing countries, Germany, and we had a lot of dual nationals. But is Beckham ours? Not really. I think he's got the English flag tattooed about 87 times on his person. That's just the ones we know about, the ones he keeps secret. We have no idea.
What about Ed Sheeran? Is Ed Sheeran ours now?
Why would you want Ed Sheeran when you've got Kevin Hurter, who is the Ed Sheeran? Ed Sheeran is just the poor man's Red Velvet. Let's be candid. Let's be candid.
Do you think Kevin Hurter is just a taller Ed Sheeran?
With talent, yeah.
And a better jumper.
I actually watched in the Royal Box yesterday, watching England, and they showed the Beckham shot with Sheeran. And my first impulse was, oh, my God, Kevin Hurter sitting by Beckham. God love him. Ginger, power, you go for it, Kev.
Nobody wants to sit next to Beckham as good looking as he is.
He gets better and better and better looking. That is the remarkable thing. He is. I mean, it's like Ronaldo. Who Cristiano Ronaldo is like 35, 36. And everyone's like, oh, this could be his last big tournament.
Do you think Ronaldo's had a little help?
Like Ted Williams help?
A little work done.
I think I've got to be candid. Ronaldo seems to be learning lessons about life. His eyebrows, he used to overpluck in a devastating fashion. And everyone thinks he's just about himself. That guy's clearly listened to feedback because he's filling them out. He's letting them grow. I think he is gorgeous. I am Team Messi, just to be totally candid. But you have to admire this human being that is driven by a constant drive for self-improvement and human wonder. I once stayed in his hotel room at the Euros after Portugal had been defeated. And then I moved into the hotel when Portugal left. I was in Donetsk in Ukraine, which I would really recommend for Americans who are looking to travel to a off the road tourist spectacle. And I moved into his hotel room. They'd vacated maybe 12 hours earlier. And all I will tell you, for the next 11 days, the Drakon war cloud that still hung to me vicariously by moving in there was just immense. And I lived a tiny bit of his life. He is a gentleman that takes care of himself in wonderful ways. And we should all be so blessed to, I mean, God, look at me. I'm in no position to start commenting on Cristiano Ronaldo, Dan Patrick.
Great to talk to you as always, Roger. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us on. Thank you, America.
And have a great 4th of July.
Oh, mate, this is the book for it. I never take a single day in America for granted, Dan. Thank you.
That's Courage. Roger Bennett, reborn in the USA, an Englishman's love letter to his chosen home. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Dominique Wilkins, he is the Hall of Famer, Hawks Vice President of Basketball Operations, Special Advisor to the Atlanta Hawks, and a Hawks analyst. He was courtside there, had his Trae Young jersey on last night. Neek, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. So you had a courtside seat with Giannis going down. What did you think when you saw that?
Well, even before he went down, the Hawks was playing great basketball, and I thought that the group was on the floor had Milwaukee all out of sync, where they couldn't really, you know, shake the Hawks, and we just played very well.
Well, and I agree that even if the Greek Freak did not get injured, I thought the Hawks felt like it meant more. There was a sense of urgency for them. It almost felt like the Bucks showed up and realized Trae Young wasn't playing, and it didn't really click that, you know what, you got to win these games. Did you get a sense that the Hawks understood, hey, we have to be, you know, we pick up our intensity even more because we don't have Trae Young?
Well, yeah, you know, and they knew that this was really the pivotal game for them now, because, you know, you lose this game going back to Milwaukee, you're down 3-1. And so, you know, I thought that the Hawks came together as a unit. They had, man, this team has a lot of grit, you know, and I think that's the difference, man. There's no quit. They always had the fight in them. And so they just came together as a unit, and that's how they won this game. I mean, it was a well-balanced game for the Hawks.
You expect Trae Young back for Game 5?
Well, I think right now you're kind of playing with house money a little bit, too. Even though, you know, the Milwaukee had the home court back, and the Hawks are playing with a lot of emotion. They're playing with a lot of confidence right now. And so they've shown that you know, Trae has help from his teammates that can get the job done. Now, do they want Trae back? Of course they do. But, again, they're showing the ability to win when your superstar goes down.
But do you expect him to play?
I always expect Trae to play. I really do. I mean, the guy loves to play the game of basketball. So, yeah, I look for him to be back.
How would he have done playing when you played?
It's two different eras. You know, he'd have been a great player. There's no question. I tell you what, I love to play with him. I mean, I probably got the easiest 35, 40 points out of my career if I played with him the way he passes the ball. He's just one of those players that come around every once in a while that has that it factor. I mean, man, he's got it.
Do you ever hit your head on the rim during a game?
Many times.
Many times.
Yeah. You know, I played the game with reckless abandon. I played it, you know, above the rim, you know, especially early in my career. There's a lot of guys back in there who played that way, you know. So, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to guess Dr. J probably hit his head on the rim a few times.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him. I saw him do it in the slam dunk contest where he hit his head on the backboard coming down. You know, so yeah.
But do you believe that somebody could actually, if I put a quarter on the top of a backboard, Nick, do you think that there's somebody who's played who could have jumped to the top of the backboard and brought a quarter down?
Well, I don't know. You know, we heard that over time, but yeah, there has been a few guys who can go to the top of the backboard. Now, it takes a lot of time to go up there and grab something and put something else up there, but there have been guys who went to the top, no question.
Well, David Thompson, to me, was one of the great leapers that I ever saw. But you had, you know, these playground legends who, you know, people always bring up. Could you get to the top of the backboard?
Yeah. I've been to the above the square, you know, many times, and you know, you used to play around with it when you're young and see who could jump the highest. And I've always had great leaping ability, you know, and one of the longest jumping, or I should say, vertical leaps in the history of the game. So I've been up there with, you know, some of the best of them. But, you know, you talk about David Thompson, you talk about Earl Manigault, you talk about so many guys that, man, David Thompson was incredible. I mean, I saw him put the ball, this cuff it in his arm and punch it through the basket in practice. When I was in high school, I went to watch one in practice because you couldn't dunk in the games back then in college. And, man, he was something else.
Talking to Dominic Wilkins, the Hall of Famer, Hawks Vice President of Basketball Operations. The load management now, though, Neek, and minutes played and the injuries, is there a reasoning behind all of this? I thought with load management, limiting the minutes, that would reduce the injuries.
Well, back when we were playing, you know, if you didn't play, especially, you know, in big games, you know, you kind of lose something. You know, you don't have that same rhythm. You know, you don't have that same chemistry because, you're trying to get yourself back in court shape. You're trying to get that rhythm back. And when you set out games, you know, for me, I felt like I lost something. But, you know, it's a different time now. You know, it's different reasoning for, you know, what they do. And, you know, and a lot of times it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I just wonder that, you know, they're going to be talking about how about the regular season, 68 games, let's say. But it feels like they're going to load manage even at 68 games. So does it matter really what the number is if they reduce the regular season games in the NBA?
Well, I'm like this. This is what we signed up for. And young players coming up through junior high school and college, we signed up for this. You know, and I think, you know, when you continue to change the game, I think you lose a little something. And so, you know, we signed up to play a game that we love, and you know, you deal with the consequences. You get injured or you get hurt. I mean, that's part of it. It just happens. That's in any sport.
Yeah, it just feels like that you can get into another contract, you know, that it's about extending your career, which I understand that, but these owners are probably saying, hey, look, we got to get paid here too. You want to reduce the regular season schedule. How about we reduce some of the pay that we give you? I don't think any players are going to sign up for that, Neek.
Well, you're caught between a rock and a hard place. You know, if you give up something, you got to give something.
Yeah.
So, I don't see it going to 68 games. I think it's crazy, really, to be honest with you, because you're talking about taking a big chunk of games away, you know. I don't know. Again, I would have played many seasons. I played 82 games, so I never thought twice about it.
If the Hawks advance, do you think Atlanta would want the Suns or the Clippers?
I don't think it really matters. I don't think it really matters because the way we're playing and the confidence we're playing with and the chemistry we have right now, it doesn't matter who you play. And the thing is just getting there. And once you get there, anything can happen.
Great to talk to you, Neek, and good luck with Game 5 coming up tomorrow night. We appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Dominic Wilkins, Hall of Famer, Hawks Vice President of Basketball Operations.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The superbly versatile all-electric EQB from Mercedes-Benz. It's impressively techy and surprisingly roomy, with available seating for up to 7. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQB.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.